Hey, so just a heads up, I have something I need to do right after 11, so this might be our last shot. I don't know how much further we have to go, but if this if we can, we can try to pick up later this morning if you're desperate for more information, but I've got to run off shortly after 11.
Okay, yeah, it would be good if we could pick it up. But would tomorrow morning be good for you, or?
No, tomorrow I'm in the city. Maybe Thursday morning, if that works.
Yeah, Thursday morning
Or
should be okay at this stage, I think. Or
okay.
after this, I'm going to be traveling to London, so it's yeah, with the reception on trains, it's going to be near impossible
Okay,
to
you
do
could
that.
try me in about an hour if that's helpful too, if that would work for you.
Oh yes, yep. That'd be great.
Okay, so let's continue up in an hour after our next dose here.
Cool. Okay.
Okay.
So let's run on with say hip replacements.
Hip. Okay.
So we've got a small black and white X-ray. I'm not sure if
Oh,
you'd see
that's
that.
fracture healing, right? That's
Gotcha.
with Alan Goodship. Yeah.
Yep. And so we're just wondering with patients that have had hip replacements or other type of replacements in the lower body, how does LIV help assist that, and should they be using LIV to help bony ingrowth and the strength of the plants?
Right. So, first and most importantly, we have not done a study on humans that shows that we encourage ingrowth of bone into non-cemented implants, and we have not done a study on humans showing that we can accelerate the healing of fractures. We have done animal studies on certainly on osseointegration, the stimulation of bone into an implant, and in essence, for the orthopedic community who would know this work far better than I, but Sir John Charnley, basically one of the earliest and probably the most important innovator of low friction arthroplasty, was very concerned about micromotion, that too much micromotion between the implant, or in his case, the implant and cement and the bone, could actually be damaging and create this sort of fibrous interface between the implant system and the bone, and ultimately lead to loosening. And that Sir John Charnley and others that followed estimate this to be 200 to 250 microns of motion. So here we are in the LIV world, where we're seeing something that is far, far less. We've actually done what's called finite element modeling, where we look at the motion between the implant and the bone when we're actually buzzing them, and we're far less than 50 microns of motion. And so we wondered then, because again, we were safe, we weren't promoting this fibrous ingrowth, if we could actually use it to stimulate the growth of bone into an implant. So there's a bit of a race on when you go and you do a total knee or total hip replacement. Can you stimulate the bone into the implant before there's the fibrous growth into the implant? And so we did a series of experiments where we challenged the bone with this vibration. Our controls were either no loading whatsoever, where we saw basically Charnley's fibrous interface. So this goes back to use it or lose it, because the bone is resorbing away. You have this very stiff element, the femoral component or the implant into the system. So there's stress shielding, and you get bone wasting away. We then, the next series of controls was a 1 hertz, 1 cycle per second, but a very, very small load. And we could see that we could suppress the fibrous ingrowth, and actually we'd see some amount of bony ingrowth, which was good. And this is encouraging those that are considering joint replacement, whether knee or hip, that the sooner you get up and begin to use the device, very, very, or use, challenge your replacement, the better, right? You're basically racing against the clock to stimulate bone to grow rather than fibrous interface. So that's a good thing as well. But we're also able to show that with these higher frequency domains, the 20 to 30 hertz realm, that we could markedly increase the amount of bony ingrowth into the implant. And the, going back to what I might consider an advantage of the low-intensity vibration is that you can do this without going out and running laps around a track. You can do it simply by standing on the device. So you're not putting the implant bone system at risk. You're basically weight-bearing on the device, but you are stimulating bone. So again, you're taking advantage of the weight-bearing, and you're actually putting in an anabolic signal. So I believe that there are a number of papers out there now, actually in the dental world as well, that show that implant osseointegration is markedly benefited by low-intensity vibration, and so that's ultimately a good thing. Remember that our group has not done human studies on this, so I can't comment on that. But in the same spirit of stimulating osseointegration, we've also looked at stimulation of fracture healing and tissue regeneration. We did this in collaboration with Alan Goodship at the University College London, where we did an osteotomy, again, in sheep. And we looked at whether really low-intensity vibration would be dangerous to the fracture healing, the regenerate bone, i.e., a number of people have demonstrated that too much motion, just like in the implant, in fracture healing can lead to delayed and non-union. We wanted to make sure we were not exacerbating the healing process, but to quite the contrary, we were able to demonstrate that these very, very low mechanical signals, in this case on the order of 25 microns of displacement, as opposed to millimeters of displacement that might be caused by locomotion in this experiment, so 50 times less, we're able to stimulate not only an increase in the regenerate bone, the callus formation, but in functional outcomes like torsional rigidity and reduction in lameness during walking. So take home message with osseointegration, orthopedic complications of bone healing, no adverse events, and the potential upside that we're able to stimulate not only the regenerate, but maybe even back to the stem cells, the convincing of the hematoma that's around the wound healing in a hip or in a fracture, that we're able to convince those stem cells that are really abundant in the hematoma to drive towards the formation of bone rather than fibrous formation of connective tissue.
Okay, and you state that we haven't done human studies, and I'm assuming you mean we as in your group.
Right, our group.
Yeah, so I have seen, I think, some pictures of some people that have had fractures, and they've been reclined in beds, and it looks very much like a LIV device being placed on their feet. Are you aware of that study? Or that,
we have done studies with people confined to bed, but actually a study supported by NASA where extended bed rest is considered a model for musculoskeletal deterioration of astronauts. And we configured an LIV device so that the supine, the lying down patient, could be subject to the LIV without actually standing up as a means of control. And we're able to show things like a reduction in the loss of stability. I'm unaware of people using a device for fracture healing, but that doesn't mean it hasn't been done. It just means that I'm not aware of it.
Okay, cool. That's great, Clint. That covers that one off.
Okay.
So you need to shoot off now.
I need to shoot off, but if you call me in about an hour, I should be back.
Excellent. I'll do that. I'll give you a buzz in an hour. That'd be great.
Okay. Cool. All right. Later. Thank